Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's an exciting time to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see Brother Philip, man. He got a tan. I see it on him still. He was enjoying that sun. And, you know, we haven't got hit with that much sun, but it was pretty nice today, amen. It actually turned out nice. It didn't start out. It was kind of, I thought it was going to rain earlier, but that's Seattle. We never know. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get started, and we're going to hop into what God has put on my heart today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for just being here another day, dear God, us being in the house of God. Oh, God, I pray, dear God, that your word would impact, would shine into our hearts, oh, God, would change us for the better, dear God, for everything that you have called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Now, listen, I was just praying and trying to figure out what God wants to share with me or wants me to share with the people. And I say that kind of both ways. He always shares something with me as I am sharing with the people. Amen. I don't think you ever get a message that doesn't kind of impact you without impacting others. Like, you have to. The word of God is going to hit me just like it hits you. Amen. So I was praying and I just felt like, okay, if Jesus died, because we know he died, right? We all believe that he died. Okay, we can't have, as we were saying, we can't sing He's the Risen King if he did not die. Okay? So I was thinking about Jesus was dead for how many days? 3 days. All right? And then we know that he rose with all power in his hand. And because now that we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, he sets us free from the sin, from sin in our life, from the curse of sin and death in our life. Amen. And we can have everlasting life and a relationship with God. Amen. So he tore the veil. So now everybody can have a relationship with him. Amen. He also have given us access to his Holy Spirit. But those 3 days kind of reminded me of something. And I was like, man, he was dead. And while I was reading, or in my spirit, I just heard, what are we putting to death in our life? Amen. Because you cannot get saved, okay, cannot give your life to God and not put to death something inside of you. Now, that doesn't mean you have to kill yourself physically, okay? Let me be very clear with that. I'm not talking about cutting your arm off or anything like that, okay? What I am saying is there, when you are living a sinful life, you cannot keep on living in sin after you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord, which means now he rules over your life, amen, and Savior. So I was like, okay, Jesus was dead for 3 days. What did we put to death? And not only that, what did we put to death? What are we continuing to put to death in our life that does not align itself with the will of God? Now, this is a checklist that we must always go through. How do we die daily? By surrendering our will. I was reading this week where Jesus was, I do a Bible study with my wife and some of her sisters through the Bible app, and we read, like, I want to say sometimes 20 verses, and we kind of comment on it. And one of them this week was Jesus was in the garden praying, and he had the disciples. He was like, come on, pray with me, disciples, please. Just 1 hour, pray with me. And they kept falling asleep, right? And Jesus was asking God, if there's another way that this thing could be done, let's do it that way. But then he said, but not my will, your will be done. Okay? So one way that we can continue to die daily is saying, God, let your will be done in me. All right? What does that look like? Every day is not going to look the same. I've been really trying to be in tune with the Spirit of God, even while I drive. And in the last couple of days, I kept hearing him say, go off on a different street. Don't go on the main roads. So I would go off. And if I think I hear it, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be obedient. I'm going to go on the back streets. I don't know what's going to happen over there. But I'm just going to be obedient, even in the little things. Because I want to do the will of God, my Father. Amen. Last week, I think after I preached at the other church, I told people that God wakes me up early in the morning at 5, and he always got some message at 5, and I'd be like, God, 9 is still good, right? But I couldn't go to sleep, and he was telling me to minister to somebody that I knew. So this week, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I waited around, I let people leave, and I'm like, let me just talk to, what do you believe about God? Really, come on, just tell me what you believe. All right, and then I was telling him, man, Jesus is hope, man. He's life. He's peace. And I know he's been dealing with certain things in his life. So I'm talking to him, and we talked for about 30 minutes. And, you know, he answered some questions, and then he kind of, you know how some people do it, kind of politely change the subject. So then he texted me afterwards and was like, man, I really want to talk about more about God because I believe in him, but I just don't know what I believe. And for me, it was the simple 5 o'clock. God woke me up, said, do this. And I said, next time I see him, I have to do it. I'm going to be obedient to God's word because I don't want God's word to be speaking to me and I don't follow what his word says. Amen. And this comes from just being in prayer with him, saying, okay, I got to put to death how I feel. What did I have to put to death there? Oh, I might look stupid. That's what I had to put to death. Or maybe he's not going to accept it. I mean, Brother Philip, you've ministered to people before. And when you do it, there's a fear that comes upon you that says, you might don't say nothing to this person. They might not need it. They might not even understand what you're saying. Right? And that's the enemy. And let me explain this. It happened like this. I remember me and my brother Marcel. This is the first time my brother Marcel went to go do street ministry with me. And I have probably shared this with you guys before. But we walked right outside the church doors. We were on Rainier Avenue in Columbia City. And there's a guy sitting on the bus stop. And I was like, hey, man, what you know about Jesus? And he starts cussing us out. Right? Like, I didn't understand it back then, but it was a spirit. Okay? There's a different spirit when somebody just starts cussing you out just because you say something about Jesus. That's not normal, okay? So, you know, he's cussing us out. I was like, okay, well, God bless you, brother. Have a great day. All right, let's go to the next person. Because really the seed was already sown. It just didn't manifest the way that I thought it would, right? But I told my brother Marcel, I said, listen, that is the enemy trying to hinder us from going out tonight. Because come on, man, we open the door, this guy is sitting out there. Just imagine if somebody was sitting on the porch and I opened the door and said, hey, man, do you know about Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And then they start tripping out. That's exactly what happened. But we kept on going. We didn't allow that to kill our spirit. Instead, we killed the fear that the enemy was trying to put upon us. Amen. So there's things that we must put to death, and to make a long story short, a couple of people gave their lives to Christ that night. Thank God, because we were willing and obedient. Amen? Every time you go out, and I know as Christians, we always want people to get convert right then and there, but you never know what happens with the seeds you plant. The Bible says one plants, one waters, but God gets the increase, okay? And I've been in that place where I was like, God, they should get saved right now. Come on, man. They feel the spirit. We feel the spirit. And it's like, And, you know, some of that is, I would say it's a godly ambition because we want to see people get saved. But we have to remember that we're not the only God that people might hear from. I'm just a point, or I'm just a seed. I'm just that water at that moment to help build their relationship with God. Amen. So we're going to go to a couple of passages today. I'm going to start with Romans. We're going to jump into the book of Romans today. Is that all right? As we celebrate Jesus raising from the dead, we have to remember that he died. And now since he's alive, we must die to sin. Amen. Romans chapter 6. And this is a great thing about when you memorize God's word, back in the day at high school, I went to a Christian school, and they made us memorize this whole chapter, Romans chapter 6. So it's interesting because there's certain times where I'll be walking and how or just studying for this sermon, and I hear that word come to me. Amen. That's what happens when you read the word. The more you read the word of God, the more when you're going through life, you hear the word of God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal truth to you. Amen. He will share his truth in the moment that you need it. Okay, let's go here. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 17. And it says this. What shall we say then? Let me go to the New King James Version. My wife has the NIV. I like the New King James Version personally. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So what is the question there? Should we keep on sinning so we have more grace? What's the answer? No. Okay. It's a matter of fact, it doesn't just say no. It says certainly not. All right. I don't know if you ever had talked to somebody and they told you certainly not. It means a lot different than just no. Right. So they say certainly not, which is an emphatic no. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We must die to sin. This is why you cannot be a Christian and think it's okay to be like the world. Okay? Sin will separate you from God. Everybody say that. That's what you have to remember. Every time you sin, it is a separation from God. When you repent, God brings you back. Okay? And every time you sin, God is not walking from you. You are choosing to walk away from him. Okay? God is not saying, oh, you sin, I'm backing up. No, you are making a choice to walk away from God when you sin. So the Bible tells us in these two verses that we must die to sin and not live in it any longer. Now, somebody is saying, oh, but what if I mess up? The Bible says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus, who was on praying on our behalf, that we stay with him. Amen. Okay. So if you mess up, you don't just say, oh, I messed up. You repent, which means to, it doesn't just mean don't do it no more. It says you turn away from it. Okay. So for example, let's say you got in trouble. And here's the difference between just being sorrowful. The Bible says godly sorrow brings forth repentance. Okay? Some people are just sorry for what they do. And you might have heard somebody say, oh, I'm sorry, but they do it again. Right? That is not repentance. And sometimes they just say sorry because they got caught. But when you say, I'm sorry, man, listen, I did you wrong. Please forgive me. I want to just change the whole, I want to change your whole outlook on me, right? So I want to make amends for what I've done, right? That's a difference than somebody that just said, I'm sorry, bro. Hopefully it doesn't happen again, right? We got to be careful that we don't let sin just kind of get comfortable with us, or us get comfortable with sin. Amen. That's a trick from the enemy. When you are comfortable with sin, that's a problem. When people do things that is against God's word, you should not be like, oh, that's cute. Oh, that's awesome. Right. We got to be careful. Verse 3 says, or do you not know? And I'm in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as we're baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Okay? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. All right, now, all of us in here have been baptized. One of the things that we say and decree when you get baptized is that the dead man has died, and when you come up, you are going to walk in the newness of Christ. Amen? That is a death that takes place. And not only is it a death, it is a, it is a confession that we make saying, I have received Jesus Christ into my life, and now I am going to die to sin. And because of Jesus' death, he has freed me from sin. Now I'm going to walk in the newness of Christ. Now, I will say this. Just because you get baptized doesn't mean some magic power from God comes upon you to make you do right. Okay? Just because you confess your sins doesn't mean some magic power is going to make your life perfect for the rest of your life. If you've heard that from a church, that's not proper doctrine. Matter of fact, Jesus said you're going to have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, my children, because I have overcome the world, so you can too. Amen? All right? So that means you're going to go through some things. He told every one of his disciples, look, I am going to be persecuted, but you will too. Okay? So that doesn't mean that we're going to have a hunky-dory Christianity where it's just roses and peaches. It's not going to be that. Okay? You're going to go through some things, but God has empowered you with his Holy Spirit to walk a life that is pleasing to God. Amen? Now I don't have to walk in sin. Why? Because God has empowered me with the Holy Spirit. And even when I get into a situation, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will remind me of his word to help me get a way out of it. Amen? But sometimes we don't listen to that word and we get caught back up. But somebody say, put to death sin. Come on, say it like you mean it. Put to death sin. All right. Verse 5 says, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. You guys hear that? Our old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So check this out. Before Christ came into your life, you know, black people, we don't like to hear the word slave, but you were a slave to sin. That means whatever the slave sin master told you to do, you did. Okay? Because you didn't know any better. Because you are in bondage. Now, we see these slave movies, and one thing that you always got to remember is that most of them are in chains. That's why they can't leave. Okay? They couldn't leave if they wanted to. Some of them were locked in dungeons. Right? And I'm not just talking about African Americans, but period. They're slaves today. Sometimes we look at the prison system. It is a slave type system. Okay? They are locked down by whatever is holding them bound. But we were locked down by sin. But Jesus, like I said, because of his death, him dying for our sins and his resurrection, freeing us from the sin, we no longer have to be slaves to sin. Amen? Say, I am no longer a slave to sin. Verse 7 says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. So my question when I started is, what have you died to? You have to die to sin. Okay, now I'll say this. I didn't have a bad life. I wasn't a bad guy. I didn't get in a lot of trouble. I got whooped for going to the store one time when I bought something and my mom thought I stole it. I didn't steal it, but I still got whooped. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do nothing wrong. Okay? I didn't want to get in trouble with my parents. At 7, I told you guys this a lot. I got saved because I didn't want hell. But at 12, I was like, listen, man, it got to be more than just this hell escape thing. It's a relationship. Because of my relationship with God, it caused me not to want to disrespect but honor my parents. There was times where my peers in high school and even, just in high school, they were like, Marquise, you should do this and do that. And I was like, I can't, man, because I gotta honor God with my life. To this day, I told you guys a story a couple weeks ago. They still know that Marquise is that guy that's trying to honor God with his life because I had to die to self. Now, I'll say this. I live in the same world as You guys do. Right? We all live in the same world, but some of us have to make a decision to say, I'm going to die to the sinful pleasures of life. I'm going to die to the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And what's the other one? Lust of the flesh. I'm going to die to those things so they cannot reign in me. Because I want God to reign in me. Somebody has to make that decision. Amen. We must die to sin so that we will not. Verse 7 says, for he who has died has been freed from sin.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Verse 8 says, and I like how, you know, Paul didn't just hit it once, but he keeps on hitting it, right? Verse 8 says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Okay? That's key. So when you die, it's a sacrifice now, but we know that if you sacrifice all of this, God will give you relationship with him. He will give you direct access to him. Amen? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. That's what I talk about when I talk about he broke the curse of sin and death. Okay? He broke the bondage of sin on us, but then he broke death from us. Now, somebody's like, oh, wait, does that mean a Christian won't die? We won't die the second death. Okay? We will leave this earth and be united with Christ. We believe that. Because, and Paul even says it, if we don't get heaven when this thing is done, or we don't get to be with God, we are the most foolish of them all. Because we wasted our whole life saying, oh man, I'm going to surrender to this this Christ thing. And if it's not true, then we wasted our whole life. But Paul then says it is true. He lets them know this is the truth. Amen. And we must believe that. I don't know about you. Have you ever, what's the best word? Sacrificed or prolonged something or didn't accept something so that you can get something better later? Have anybody ever did something like that? Where he was like, I am not going to have this because I know down the road, if I don't have this appetite or whatever, if I get down the road, it's going to be better for me. I don't know about anybody. Me and my wife, we listen to Dave Ramsey, and he has a lot of things to help people get out of debt, which is a good thing in America. Get out of debt if you can, right? But one of the things he says is sacrifice now so you can have the best later. He actually says it in a different way. I'm trying to think of how he says it. Do you know? Live like no one else lives now, and then you'll live like no one else lives later. And his thing is, you're going to have to sacrifice now to get out of debt. You might have to pick up another job. You might not have to buy that car that everybody else got off the lot that cost them a lot of money, and now they are in debt for years. And it not only are they in debt, it prolongs them from getting their number one debt remover, which is their income. He says, if you take your time, pay off all your debts, it's going to change your life. Now, I would love to be debt-free. Not only that, I'm expecting that I can be debt-free and my children will be debt-free. I had a conversation with them yesterday about how powerful it is that if the Bible says blesses a man who not only blesses a man who takes care of his children, but takes care of his children's children. All right. My goal is for my kid, my grandkids to be set from whatever I could set up. Amen. That means I might have to sacrifice. And I was telling them, unfortunately, we have become, for lack of a better word, slaves to trying to keep up with the Joneses. We want to be just like them. We want to have clothes just like them. We want to do this. You don't have the Joneses' money all the time. And even if you did, sometimes it's not good for you. But what I'm saying is, even in a money system, unfortunately, we have been cool with being slaves. When you are owed a debt, and thank God we're not in the Bible days, because if you didn't pay a debt and somebody died in your family, they would take your kids to pay that debt. Right? If you guys don't know, there was a story in Elijah where the lady, she was a widow. They said, we're going to come take your son because your debt has not been paid. So Elijah, because she gave him water and cornmeal first, God allowed her to provide for her family so that her kid did not have to get taken away. Okay? But what I'm saying is, we have got comfortable with even money debt. We have become slaves to money, slaves to the lender. We have to learn how to be the borrower. Amen. Verse 9 says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Now, I break down in verse 10, and this might be the only chapter I get to today. But he died to sin once and for all. Okay. Now, some people think there's sometimes people talk about what is called the limited atonement. Have anybody heard of that before? Limited atonement, which means that Jesus dying on the cross wasn't for everybody. Now, if I read this scripture, it says for all. Okay, so his atonement wasn't limited. Okay, it wasn't an exclusive. It was for all who accept him. Okay. Sometimes people want to create doctrines that can be, deceiving, because they want certain people to only get it. But if I read that, it says he died to sin once and for all. Thank God. Because if it didn't say for all, some of us would not be living for God. Amen. But we must believe that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. If we die to sin, if sin is dead in us, we live to God. Okay? So I've died to sin. I've let sin die in me, but now I live to God. Say, now I live to God. It's important that we live to honor God. That our whole life, our whole being is to honor God. Amen? I don't know if anybody getting something from this. I hope you are. But it says, likewise, verse 11, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Jesus has set us free from sin. Now we are no longer slaves to sin, but we are connected to God by accepting him. And now we live to honor God in all that we do. Amen. All right. Verse 12 says, therefore, do not let sin. Somebody say, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Okay? So now we've heard that he died for us. We've accepted him. Now we are living unto God. But then he says again, don't let sin reign in your life. Now, I don't know why he said that. He just said that we're free from sin. But you know what happens? Some people that are free from sin begin to let sin once again reign in their lives. So we have to say, God, I don't want this thing to reign. It can't reign over me. Now, why we say something like that? David, a man after God's own heart. had a good run, right? But he still messed up at times. But the thing about David, he repented. We don't see David do the same thing again. Thank God there wasn't another Bathsheba. And if there was, I'm pretty sure that David was like, block the decks. I'm not going up there. I messed up last time. All right. Hey, if I go up there, I need some accountability. Listen, you hear me? I need somebody with me so I can make sure that my eyes are not looking upon the wrong things. Even if you look into David, after a while, he said, Lord, help me to look at the right things. Help the things that I look at be pleasing to you. Right? He learned that lesson. We have to learn the same lessons. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Verse 13 says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Listen, it's not just important to avoid sin. What makes it even more important, what makes this thing important is that we don't just avoid sin or avoid temptation, but we walk in righteousness. Okay, what's the difference? Here's the difference. If I am trying to walk down this aisle and I'm just trying to avoid sin, I'm always backing up. Right? Can't do that. You're doing a shuffle, right? But if you say, I am going to do that and I'm going to walk in that because God told me to do it. Now you're walking with a purpose. See, this is the thing. God didn't just strip you from sin and everything. Your life has no purpose. What God has done is he has given your life purpose. That's what he has done. When he has set you free from sin, now he's given you a purpose, and that purpose is to walk in righteousness, pleasing to God. It says, let your members be instruments of righteousness to God. That's Romans 6, verse 13. Verse 14 through, we're going to stop at 17. Actually, I'll just read this whole chapter. All right. We're at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Now, you are under law when you sin. Okay? But when you have been set free from sin and now have become slaves to righteousness, you are now under grace. Because God has given you the grace to walk in righteousness. I said earlier that God, that we are going to be honoring to God because he has given us the grace to walk in him. Amen. Verse 15 says, what then shall we sin? So he asked them again, what then shall we sin? Because we are not under law, but under grace. This was kind of the same question earlier. And then what does he say? Certainly not. Somebody say, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. So once again, instead of being in bondage to sin, God has set you free and now you have the ability to be obedient to the righteousness that God has. Amen. Verse 17 says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, say, I was a slave of sin. That's what we got to get. We were all slaves of sin. He says, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness. That's how I memorized that scripture. I remember that. I had a little pauses right there. But you have been set free from sin, and now you have become slaves to righteousness. Uh-oh. Did we catch that? So he freed us from being slaves to sin, and now he has given us freedom, but now we're slaves to righteousness. Now, somebody would be like, what? What's the difference? You're still a slave. Right? Some might ask that question. Can we be real? If you preach this to somewhere, somebody will be like, well, you're still a slave. But there's a difference when you're a slave to sin, because the Bible just told us before that sin leads to death. But when you're a slave to righteousness, it leads to life and freedom. Catch that. Verse 19 says, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For you were slaves of sin. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You didn't understand what righteousness was. What fruit do you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed of? So what is Paul saying? He's saying, okay, yeah, when you were a slave to sin, what did you do that you really are excited about? Most of the stuff you did, you're ashamed of. Right? Oh, I was a sinner, man. Nobody says I loved the sin that I was in because it produced great things in my life, right? We don't say that. You're ashamed of, oh, I stole from people. We don't just say, oh, yeah, I stole from people. Yeah, it was me. I embezzled a whole bunch. Nobody is like, good job for that. They're like, that's dumb. Now you're going to go pay the price, right? It says, what fruit do you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. Somebody say, sin leads to death. Come on again. Sin leads to death. All right, but it says, but now having been set free from sin, do we keep seeing this in there for some reason? I don't know why. We died to sin, and now we are set free from sin. Somebody say, I'm set free. You know, if we was in an old Pentecostal church, when you say, I'm set free, I might have heard the organ play with me. You know what I mean? Somebody said, I'm set free. I'm set free. It's a difference when you're free. So it's a great difference when you're free. But he says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now, here's a scripture that we read all the time, and this is the very last scripture. It says, for the wages of sin are death. All right? So what does that mean? The way you get paid for your sinful life is death. You guys catch that? All the work that you do, you're just going to receive death for it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift... We got to catch this. It's not something that we earned. Okay? The gift of God is everlasting life in Christ Jesus. Okay? So for all the sin, all the work that you do for sin, what you've earned is death. But if you simply accept Christ, the Bible says the gift of God is everlasting life through Christ Jesus. So we die to sin. That's what we put to death today, right? Once we accepted Christ, we have said, I'm going to put to death sin in my life. Now we accept the gift of God, which is holiness, which is righteousness, which is freedom. Amen? What are you dying to? We have to put these things to death in our life. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to continue on this next week. But we have to put these things to death so we can walk in what God has called us to walk in. And that's freedom. That's righteousness. And that's a purpose that he has given us and empowered us to walk in. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon. And we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.